Here we go.
I would like to be known as the Big Aristotle.
And I'm determined to bring a championship to Minnesota.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me?
Oh, ho, ho! Up high, down hard! Yeah! In your life have you seen anything like that?
I can't believe you're a golfer. I think you should be working at the snack bar.
Stand up and shine!
My puck, baby! Don't you ever touch my puck!
We talking about practice. Not a game. We talking about practice.
Oh, we're live.
I didn't know that.
They are who we thought they were. And we left them off the hook.
I know what you want and what you're thinking.
Good afternoon. Welcome into another edition of The Scoop here on KLGR 1490 AM FM 95.9 and also myklgr.com. A lot to get to here today. Going to take a look at the Redwood Valley Pick'em League results. See if I maintained my lead or if anybody else is continuing to narrow the deficit. We'll take a look at that in the show here today. Plus, we'll get you ready to go for Vikings football on Sunday. And plenty of other things to discuss here on the show today. So stay tuned. We got a lot to get to. And we will do that right now. We'll start off by taking a look at our top sports headlines for today. Taking a look at our top sports headlines for today, the Minnesota Timberwolves took care of the San Antonio Spurs, beating them for the first time in their last 12 attempts. Karl Anthony Towns had a big day on his birthday, his 22nd birthday, as the Timberwolves improved to 9-5 on the season. They are off to the best start in team history. So a lot of good things going on for the Timberwolves, who have started to move the ball a little better, and they are showing some promise offensively, as well as on the defensive side of the ball, too. Plenty of good things to discuss for the Timberwolves. It's been pretty much all good for basketball throughout the state, as the University of Minnesota Golden Gopher basketball team continued their hot start, taking care of Niagara, as Jordan Murphy nearly recorded a triple-double with blocks. And the Gophers won easily to improve to 3-0 on the season. The Cy Young Awards were announced yesterday. Corey Kluber in the American League, Max Scherzer in the National League. Not really that much surprise, although Kluber fighting off some very tough competition with Chris Sale for the award. And now all eyes shift to American and National League MVP as the baseball awards wrap up here this week. Minnesota Wild on a bit of a roll. They will try for their fourth consecutive win, their fourth consecutive shutout, as they host Nashville this evening. We'll see if Devin Dubnyk gets the start and if he can keep things rolling for Minnesota, who's starting to get into their groove here recently. And the college football polls, after a wild weekend, Alabama at the top. We'll see how everything else shook out as well here on the show today as we get closer and closer to the bowl season and the college football playoff portion of the schedule. All of that looming in the distance. So that is a look at our top sports headlines here for today. When we come back, we will take a look at how the polls have things currently setting in college football. That is coming up after this.
You're listening to The Scoop.
Whoa, I don't play defense.
On KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Missed today's episode of The Scoop? Find each and every episode on myklgr.com under the Sports tab.
Back here on The Scoop, the college football season starting to wind down. And that makes more and more of an emphasis, puts more and more emphasis on the top 25 rankings and the playoff picture. So let's take a look at where things stand. It was a crazy weekend this past weekend in college football. Georgia lost. A bunch of the other top five teams lost as well. Alabama didn't lose. And the Associated Press top 25 starts with Alabama at number one. They received 57 of 61 first place votes with a perfect 10-0 record. Next is Miami. They received 4 first place votes. They jumped from 5 to number 2. At 9-0 on the season. Then it is Oklahoma. They're 9-1 on the year. They are third, jumping up two spots in the top 25. Fourth is Clemson, who is 9-1. They stay put from where they were last week. Wisconsin is number 5, 10-0 on the season. They jump from 6 to 5. Auburn, fresh off of beating Georgia, they vault all the way up to 6. They were 10 last week, currently at 8-2. Then Georgia drops down 5 spots to 7, 6 spots to 7. They are 9-1 on the season. Ohio State up to 8th. They are 8-2 on the year. Notre Dame, also 8-2. They drop to 9th after a big loss against Miami. Oklahoma State up to 10th. They're at 8-2. Then it's TCU. They drop down to 11th at 8-2. USC is 12th at 9-2. Penn State, 8-2. They're 13th. UCF is 14th at 9-0. Then Washington State, 15th. At 9-2, Washington 16th at 8-2, Mississippi State at 17th at 7-3, then Memphis 8-1, they are at 18th, Michigan 8-2, they are 19th, Stanford 20th at 7-3, LSU 21st at 7-3, Michigan State 22nd at 7-3, South Florida at 8-1, they are 23rd, West Virginia 24th at 7-3, and NC State at 25th, they are at 7-3. So that's the top 25 for you. Now, looking at the playoff picture, at this point, these four teams with the most likelihood of being in the playoff, Alabama, Clemson, Miami, and Oklahoma. Now, that certainly is subject to change. Wisconsin is kind of that outside looking in. They're the fifth team in the rankings. So they're currently that next team in. And you look at what the four top teams have left on their schedule. We'll start off with Alabama, and it's going to be real surprising if Alabama does not get in. They've got a game against Mercer on the 18th, and then they finish the season at number six Auburn on November 25th. So that should be a great game. Two games left to finish off the season after Alabama snuck by number 16 Mississippi State this past Saturday. For Clemson, they finish off their schedule with a game this Saturday against the Citadel. Then they take on South Carolina on the road on November 25th. And then December 2nd, they take on number 3 Miami on ABC. So that theoretically eliminates one of these two teams from the playoff, as Miami, they have Virginia this Saturday, then Pitt on Friday the 24th, and then Clemson on the December 2nd, as we just mentioned. So my guess is one of those two teams will be out. Whoever loses that game will be out of the playoff. Oklahoma finishes at Kansas on Saturday, then they host West Virginia on the 25th. So a pretty easy road for those teams. Wisconsin, they've got a home game against number 24 Michigan on Saturday, and then they finish off on the road against the Minnesota Golden Gophers. How would that be if the Gophers find a way to pull off the upset there? They could single-handedly crash the Badgers' hopes at getting into the college football playoff. Although that game against Michigan going to be plenty tough as it is for the Badgers. So they might end up doing that to themselves here in the next couple of weeks. Other teams that are on the outside looking in, Auburn certainly would do themselves a favor if they were to beat Alabama in 2 weeks. They take on UL Monroe on Saturday. Should be a win there. And then if they were to beat Alabama, you'd think that they would be in. But who knows? That it's going to be a crazy last couple of weeks here of the season. Georgia, just for good measure, they host Kentucky on Saturday. Then they are on the road at Georgia Tech on the 25th. So that is just kind of a look at where things stand with the college football playoff. We'll keep an eye on these rankings here throughout the last couple of weeks of the season, and should have a pretty good idea here after next week of who's going to be in for sure, although a lot can happen that final week in which a couple of teams may be legitimately bumped if they lose. So that's going to be just fascinating to keep an eye on here over the next couple of weeks. The Gophers have coming up here this weekend a matchup against Northwestern. Northwestern ranked number 23, or they were ranked number 23 in the last rankings. But just looking at what Northwestern is doing this year, they're 7-3 on the season, and they are certainly a pass-first team, averaging 270 passing yards a game, rushing at 134.8 yards per game. Their defense, though, certainly beatable, as they are giving up 388 yards per game. Almost 280 yards given up through the air. So Northwestern, a team that you certainly can put up points against. They've had some very close wins and some big blowouts as well. They got crushed by Duke early on in the season, 41-17. They lost 33-24 to Wisconsin, 31-7 to Penn State. And they have won five in a row, 37-21 at Maryland, 17-10 against Iowa in overtime, 39-31 in three overtimes against Michigan State, then 31-24 in overtime against Nebraska. a non-overtime game in their last game, 23-13 against Purdue. So for the Gophers, if they can keep the offense rolling, if they could get some good production out of Demery Croft once again, they may be able to pull off the upset and move to 6-5 in move to 6-5 on the season, move to 3-5 in Big Ten play. So we'll see what happens with that game at 11 a.m. on Saturday. Should be a good one between those two. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will take a look at the results from the Redwood Valley Pick'em League. Pick the games for this coming week. That's all coming up after this.
You're listening to The Scoop.
You play to win the game.
On KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Catch The Scoop Monday through Friday from 3 to 4 p.m. on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
Back here on The Scoop, it's time to take a look at the Redwood Valley Pick'em League for this past week. The standings, as they currently sit, still in first place, yours truly, 98-48. 50 picks over 500, absolutely continuing to dominate in that department. Bob Wesley closing in, he's four back, 94-52. Then it's Coach Cadet at 88-58. Mr. Steve at 76-70. Andy Rainier at 68-78. Andy Arata at 47-99. Coach Argetinger at 30-116. Coach Carlson at 19-127. Taking a look at the picks from this past week, Seattle taking on Arizona. And Seattle was the favorite in this game. They ended up winning. They were favored by 5.5. They ended up winning by a final score of 22-16. So they just barely covered that spread. But hey, all you got to do is cover it. It doesn't have to be pretty. 22-16, the final score. Everybody that picked went with Seattle. So everybody off to a 1-0 start. New Orleans taking on Buffalo. New Orleans favored by 2.5. They won by 37, 47-10. And everybody except Coach Cadet had New Orleans. So that puts me at a 2-0 start for the week. Chicago taking on Green Bay. Chicago is favored by 5 somehow. Green Bay ended up winning 23-16, so Green Bay covered despite not being favored in the game. And everybody, ironically, everybody went with Chicago in that one. So 2-1 to start off the week. Detroit taking on Cleveland. Detroit favored by 13.5. Detroit actually trailed at one point in this game. But they end up winning by a score of 38-24. So they just barely cover that spread. And they get it to 14. Everybody had Detroit, though. So 3-1 in the picks so far. Tennessee taking on Cincinnati. Tennessee favored by 4.5. They win by 4, though. So Tennessee did not cover. First team to not cover the spread. Other than Chicago, who lost. So Tennessee won but did not cover. Regardless, everybody had Tennessee. So a 4-1 start on the week and looking pretty good. But spoiler alert, did very well again here this week. That gets us to Pittsburgh taking on Indianapolis. Pittsburgh favored by 11.5 in this game. They won by a field goal, and they had to come from behind to do it, 20-17. Nonetheless, didn't cover the spread, but everybody picked Pittsburgh to win. So 5-1 to start the week. Now here's where I gained a little ground on everybody, at least in the early goings. Tampa Bay and the New York Jets. This was basically a pick'em game. Jets were favored by a point because they were the home team. Actually, it was in Tampa Bay, so I stand corrected. But nonetheless, Jets favored by a point, and Tampa Bay won 15-10. I was the only one to pick Tampa Bay to win, so 6-1 at that point, and off to just a great start. Minnesota taking on Washington. This was basically a pick'em game. Minnesota did win 38-30. So everybody, and rightfully so, everybody picking the Vikings. So 7-1 at that point. Next game up, we've got Jacksonville taking on the Los Angeles Chargers. Jacksonville favored by 4. They did not, however, cover the spread as they win 20-17 in overtime. Coach Cadet, the only one to not pick the Chargers. Everybody else went with Jacksonville. So 8-1 at that point in the picks. The Los Angeles Rams taking on Houston. They were favored by 12.5, and the Rams end up winning by 26, 33-7. Everybody picked the Rams, no surprise there. But 9-1 so far. Atlanta taking on Dallas. Atlanta favored by 2.5. They win by 20, 27-7. So continuing the roll, 10-1 as Coach Codette, the only one to pick Dallas. Bob and myself picking Atlanta. 10-1 at that point. Bob able to even things up with this next game, San Francisco and the New York Giants. This was a pick'em game, and San Francisco won by 10, 31-21. Bob was the only one to pick the 49ers. So Bob evens things up with me at 10-2. Then the final two games of the weekend, New England taking on Denver. New England favored by 8.5. They win 41-16, so they covered that spread plenty. Everybody picked New England, so no surprise there, 11-2. And then the final game of the weekend, Carolina taking on Miami. Carolina favored by 10. They win 45-21. And everybody had Carolina in that game, so 12-2 on the weekend. Did not gain any ground, did not separate the four-game lead over Bob. He continues to just keep the pace with me in those picks. So 12-2 for both of us on the week. Now, taking a look at the Week 11 slate of games. Starting off with tonight's game, Pittsburgh taking on Tennessee. Tennessee is the home team. They're playing very well, 6-3 on the season. Pittsburgh comes in at 7-2. Pittsburgh is the host of this game, and as a result, going to take Pittsburgh in this one. The Steelers really do not lose at home, and I think as a result of that fact that they will win at home, so picking Pittsburgh to win. Detroit taking on the Chicago Bears at Soldier Field. Now, this is fascinating to me, because you look at what Detroit has done on the road, and you look at what Chicago has done at home. The Bears 3-6 on the season, but they have been just a completely different team at home. And I think that they are going to be able to run the football. I think that they will be able to do some different things with Mitch Trubisky, who's starting to show a little bit of life. And just look at what their defense has done at home. They have 17 sacks at home, and I think that they are going to... I'm trying to, I guess, talk myself into picking Detroit. I don't know if that's a good idea. Picking Chicago, I should say. Detroit favored heavily. I want to pick Chicago because it's the Lions. What the heck? I'll gamble. I'm going to pick Chicago to beat Detroit at home and do the Vikings a little bit of a favor in that game. That'll probably be as aggressive as I get. Jacksonville is on the road at Cleveland. Jacksonville favored heavily. That defense is going to make the Cleveland offense look pretty bad. So I am going to go with Jacksonville to win that game. Baltimore at Lambeau Field taking on Green Bay. Brett Hundley looked pretty good against the Bears, but Baltimore is kind of up and down, to say the least. So I think if you look at what Baltimore has done, they're 4-5, and they just narrowly lost to Tennessee. You wonder if they will have a bounce-back performance against the Packers. Green Bay banged up at running back. I'll go with Baltimore to win that game against the Packers. Miami is hosting Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay coming off of a win. Miami somehow favored in this matchup. I don't see how that's possible considering how they played against Carolina. I'm going to roll with Tampa Bay to beat Miami, who has burned me several times in the past, so I really have no idea what to do with them. But I'm going to pick Tampa Bay to beat Miami. Minnesota taking on the Los Angeles Rams at noon. Both teams 7-2. Vikings in the pick distribution have a 54-46 edge in other people doing pick'em leagues. And I think we saw some good encouraging things from the Vikings in their game against Washington, that the offense can take over when needed. So I think that the Vikings will make it 8-2. I think they will come away with a win. It's not going to be as high scoring as we expect, but I would not be surprised if the Vikings win something like 28-21. So that's kind of what my pick is there. Vikings to beat Los Angeles. New Orleans taking on Washington. Saints are hosting this game. Washington banged up. Saints will win. It'll be a high-scoring game, though, between those two. Kansas City coming off their bye week at the New York Giants. Giants with just one win on the season. They'll stay that way, picking Kansas City to win there. Houston and Arizona, a battle of teams without their starting quarterbacks. Which defense will win out? Well, I think I'm going with Arizona to win in that game over Houston. The Los Angeles Chargers taking on Buffalo, and Buffalo starting a rookie quarterback. It appears as though they have kind of mailed it in, even though they're 5-4. I'm going to go with the Chargers. Denver hosting Cincinnati. Both of these teams in rough shape. Denver's defense has been porous recently. And I think for the Bengals, despite that fact, they are going to struggle on the road, picking Denver in that one. New England taking on Oakland. Is there any way New England loses this game? It is on the road, but Oakland has been pretty bad this year, so I'm going to pick New England to win there. Philadelphia at Dallas, Sunday Night Football. Dallas without Zeke Elliott, more importantly, without their left tackle, Tyron Smith. So I will pick Philadelphia to win there. Seattle hosting Atlanta. And this is going to be a very interesting matchup. Atlanta looked really good against Dallas in their most recent win. But Seattle is Seattle, and the Falcons have had some trouble this year with, of all things, playing well on offense. So I actually am going to go to Seattle in this game. I think that the Seahawks will win in what's going to be a higher scoring game than people expect because of the fact that the Seahawks have to throw in order to have any sort of an offense and because the Falcons will find themselves trailing. So I could see this game being 38-31, something like that, but I'm going to pick Seattle to win. So the picks this week: Pittsburgh, Chicago, Jacksonville, Baltimore, Tampa Bay, Minnesota, New Orleans, Kansas City, Arizona, the Los Angeles Chargers, Denver, New England, Philadelphia, Seattle. We'll see how it all plays out when we recap the picks again next week, but that is all for now. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to take a little bit of a more in-depth look at what the Vikings will need to do to beat the Rams coming up on Sunday. That is on the way after this.
You're listening to The Scoop.
Just a bit outside.
On KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Your home for Redwood Valley Cardinal Athletics all season long. KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
Back here on The Scoop, Minnesota Vikings will try to go to 8-2 on the season when they take on the Los Angeles Rams on Sunday. It'll be Case Keenum to start for the Vikings. That was announced earlier this week. You look at the Rams coming into this game, they are 7-2. They are averaging 32.9 points per game, which is far and away the best in the league. And they are giving up just 18 points per game, which is tied for third best in football. They're rushing the ball for 128.8 yards per game. That is fifth best in the league. Passing the ball for 260.1 yards, which is sixth best in the league. So this is far and away one of the most impressive offenses that the Vikings have faced thus far. And I find it just totally fascinating that Jared Goff comes into this season. He has thrown 16 touchdowns compared to just 4 interceptions. And what he did last year in 7 games was he threw for 5 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. And he started his first game on November 20th in relief of Case Keenum. But look at these numbers in terms of completions, attempts, and yards. Look at where he was at with this team before Sean McVay took over. Goff, his first game against Miami, 17 of 31 for 134 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. So that leads me to believe that they tried to keep the game plan simple for him. They ended up losing 14-10. They then take on the Saints. They lose 49-21 on the 27th. He was 20 of 32, 214 yards, 3 touchdowns, a pick. They play the Patriots December 4th, and the score of that game, 26-10, 14 of 32, 161 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. They take on Atlanta. They lose 42-14, 24 of 41, 235 yards, and 2 interceptions. A loss to Seattle, 24-3, 13 of 25, 135 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. a 22-21 loss to San Francisco. He's 11 of 24 for 90 yards and one touchdown, two interceptions, and then a 44-6 loss to Arizona. He was 13 of 20 for 120 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. So he not really throwing for many yards, not really asked to do that much, which is pretty typical for a rookie quarterback. You don't want to overwhelm them early. You don't want to frustrate them with some of the things that you're asking them to do. But at the same time, Jeff Fisher really did not know what he wanted to do with this offense. You've got Jared Goff. You've got Todd Gurley. You've got some good young receivers. And in those games with Goff, they lost all seven. So that not particularly good for the Fisher coaching staff, and as a result, they were let go. Now you go to this year, and Sean McVay comes in, highly successful offensive coordinator for the Washington Redskins with Kirk Cousins, able to kind of get the most out of him. You look at some of the things that he has done this year, first game of the season, 21 of 29, 306 yards, a touchdown, no picks. So a 72% completion percentage right there. In a loss week two to Washington, 14 of 24, 219 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. Now, that was one of his worst starts of the year. But he backs that up with a win over San Francisco, where he was 22 of 28, for 292 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions, 78% completion percentage in that game. So already they're opening the offense up and trying to help him make plays downfield. Against Dallas on October 1st, 21 of 36, 255 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. His other loss on the season to Seattle, 22 of 47, 288 yards, no touchdowns, two interceptions. But other than that, a game against Jacksonville in which they really did not need him to do anything at all. 11 of 21, 124 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions. Arizona, 33-0 win, 22 of 37, 235 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. A drubbing of the New York Giants, 51-17, 14 of 22, 311 yards, four touchdowns. And then against Houston, 25 of 37, 355 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions. So they're trusting him to make the plays with this offense, but it also helps that they have unleashed one of the better running backs in the game, that being Todd Gurley, who has 754 yards on the season, but also a ton of catches. So he is being utilized with his skill set, as he has 400 receiving yards already this year to go along with 754 rushing yards. Last year under Jeff Fisher, in 16 games, he had 885 yards, just a 3.2 yards per carry average, and six touchdowns, also just 327 yards receiving. So completely miscast with Jeff Fisher. Now with Sean McVay, already has eclipsed that number and has three receiving touchdowns as well. So the old adage, get the ball to your playmakers. They do that. Goff does a great job getting the ball to Todd Gurley, getting the ball to some of his receivers. Robert Woods, 622 yards receiving with four touchdowns. Sammy Watkins, a deep threat. So there are a lot of weapons around Goff this year. The offensive line has been much better. So the defense really has to avoid giving up the big play. Washington has had plenty of big plays, 94-yard receiving touchdown for Robert Woods this past week, but they also have 53-yard completion for Todd Gurley, 67-yard completion for Sammy Watkins, 69-yard reception for Gerald Everett. So this offense predicated on the home run If the Vikings can prevent those deep balls, that is going to help them quite a bit. So the secondary is going to be kind of under fire here this weekend to try to keep everything in front of them, and the defensive line has to keep Gurley at bay. The offense, I think, will have an opportunity to take some shots downfield, and I hope that they do, because the last thing we all want is this game to get out of hand either way. We want to keep it interesting, similar to how that Washington game was. So those are some of the keys to the game on Sunday. We're going to take a break, take a look at what's on deck for tonight. That's coming up after this.
You're listening to The Scoop.
You cannot be serious!
On KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Play-by-play, schedules, and more, visit myklgr.com.
Let's take a look at what's on deck for tonight's light schedule in the NBA. Golden State at Boston at 7 o'clock tonight on TNT. And then Houston at Phoenix at 9:30, also on TNT. NHL schedule for tonight. New Jersey at Toronto at 7 Eastern. Carolina at the New York Islanders at 7 Eastern. Arizona at Montreal at 7:30 Eastern. Pittsburgh at Ottawa at 7:30 Eastern. Dallas at Tampa Bay at 7:30 Eastern. Nashville at Minnesota at 8 o'clock Eastern tonight. Philadelphia at Winnipeg at 8 Eastern. Washington at Colorado at 9 Eastern. St. Louis at Edmonton at 9 Eastern. Vegas at Vancouver at 10 o'clock Eastern. Boston at Los Angeles at 10:30 Eastern. Florida at San Jose at 10:30 Eastern. Big Ten men's basketball. Nebraska at St. John's at 5:30 Central. Southern Miss at Michigan at 6 o'clock. Texas Southern at Ohio State. Grambling at Iowa at 7:05. And number 15, Xavier at Wisconsin at 7:30. That is a look at what's on deck here for tonight. It is time for us to wrap it up.
See you tomorrow. That
does it for today's edition of The Scoop. We will take a look at the state semifinals tomorrow with Ryan Phelps. Also, some Timberwolves basketball talk with Dan Slabaugh of On the Prowl. The Timberwolves off to the best start in franchise history, so certainly plenty of positives to discuss with Dan on the show tomorrow. If you missed any portion of today's show, myklgr.com/thescoop is where you're going to want to go. Have a great rest of your afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow. 3:05.
KLGR 1490 AM and 95.9 FM is radio you can depend on. KLGR Redwood Falls. K240 DJ Redwood Falls. Streaming online at myklgr.com and the TuneIn Radio app.